Dung, a light roasting of Frank Herbert's Dune, by Tom Cole. The gum jabber, deep in the human unconscious, is a pervasive need for a logical universe that makes sense, the deep and abiding desire for something more enlightening than what can be found in a rambling, convoluted, and overblown novel that is always a step beyond logic and makes no sense at all. From Sayings of Polymoabuta by the Princess Ireful. Things didn't just fall neatly into place for the Atavis family as they occasionally do when folks make plans to move. Not even close. With just 10 days left to prepare for their trip to Ascaris, every single member of the blue-blooded clan was scuttling about like a crab in a T.S. Eliot poem. Even the mother of the boy Polly was so frenzied and beleaguered that her son had begun to suspect she was no longer up to the task of being a royal concubine. And he further reasoned that moving to the worm-filled desert sands of Ascaris, a planet rife with giant nematodes, warring religious fanatics, and thirsty, ill-tempered nomads, didn't promise much respite for her either. Not if she felt that packing a few suitcases and negotiating for the security deposit on the castle was a big deal here on Placid Calamari. The final preparations to get out of Dodge had put everyone in the castle on edge. And as if to add to the confusion, a former associate of Polly's mother, an ancient old battle axe named Mother Teresa, chose this moment to make an appearance. It was hot that evening in the Castle Calamari, as it had often been these last 26 summers, and the whole place bore that familiar bad broccoli smell that always made you wish for a change in weather. Lots were drawn, and the loser led the old lady down the shag-carpeted hallway leading to Polly's bedroom. When the boy's mother arrived, she found Mother Teresa stooping by the bedroom door and working a lockpick into the keyhole. "These low-grav pin tumblers don't like to cooperate sometimes," she complained. "Ah, here we are." She twisted the handle. The door snicked open, and the two women peered in at Polly where he lay in his bed. By the tenuous light of the air freshener plugged into an outlet close to the floor, the boy might have noted the old woman's matted Rastafarian dreads, rounded hoodie, and hoot owl-like features, had he not been fast asleep. She gazed into the room. Her eyes were like glittering jewels, babbling brooks, and raging torrents.
"He's dead to the world, is he not, Jezebel?" asked Mother Teresa, introducing the woman's name to the reader seamlessly.
Her voice plucked and twanged like a country guitarist attempting to play in B-flat. Jezebel answered in her soft contrabando.
"The Atavis are known to be heavy sleepers."
"I've heard that," wheezed the old woman. "Let go of my throat."
"Yes, your reverence."
"An indolent little bugger, yet he's already 15.
"He is indeed. I mean about being 15," said Jezebel, then quickly added somewhat pridefully, "Gets his learner's permit next month."
"Well, he should do fine on the written. And if he's really the whatchacallitat, well, the driving test should be a cinch, too."
The two women paused, gazed at the sleeping boy.
"That's my son," said Jezebel, "the whatchacallitat."
"Is he not young for his age?" asked Mother Teresa.
"How can someone be young for their age?"
Mother Teresa slapped herself on the thigh. "Silly me," she laughed. "Small. I meant to say small for his age. The Atavists are known for getting their growth late." Mother Teresa looked at Jezebel and grimaced. "Speaking of which, you'd really better have a doctor look at that thing on your neck."
Mother Teresa turned and spoke to the boy.
"Sweet dreams, you indolent little bugger. You'll need all of your beauty rest when I introduce you to my gum jabber."
She slammed the door hard enough to wake the boy, who sat bolt upright and shouted irritably,
"Somebody sleeping over here!"
He should have asked, "What's a gum jabber?" But of course, he hadn't heard, and it really didn't matter much. He would find out soon enough.
Oh, brother, would he?
Polly lay awake, muttering to himself.
"Too much for a guy to expect a peaceful night's rest around this joint."
He couldn't get back to sleep. There were so many things for him to learn. Ascaris would be different from Calamari, plenty different. Polly's mind whirled like liver and herbs being whisked into a pate. Ascaris, dung, desert planet. Thunder Hellcat, the family assassin, had explained it all very well. And Polly, belaboring the obvious, now mused in detail over the very same explanation in order to fill the reader in. According to Hellcat, the Atifis had made enemies, mortal ones, to coin a phrase, and these folks were known as the Harkonnenas, a name for which they were mercilessly teased. Almost all of the people Polly would come to know in life had the very same problem, and, of course, Thunder Hellcat was certainly no exception. For 80 years, the Harkonnenas had been on Ascaris, mining the Geritol-based spice known as meringue, under a sweetheart deal they had with the Gloman Loch Lomond Company. Now, however, the Harkonnenas were being run clean off the planet by the other 5 families, and Polly's dad, Dude Pito, was taken over. Pito was popular with the great houses of the land grab, and Hellcat had explained how that was a big problem. He said that people get really jealous of a popular guy like that, and they stay jealous until one way or another they've managed to knock him off. Hombre celoso no tiene reposo, he always used to say, although Polly knew not one blind word of Spanish. Indeed, his own vocabulary, in the implausibly ubiquitous English spoken galaxy-wide in sci-fi novels, was fairly circumscribed itself. Polly finally dropped off and dreamed of wandering through caverns measureless to man, etc., etc., within whose labyrinths he heard the incessant drip, drip, drip of water. He awoke with a start and rushed to the washroom. The following morning, Polly's mother found him in the hallway near his room. She was carrying a pair of black dress shoes, slacks, and a semi-formal jacket. "Ah, you're up," she said. "Did you sleep well? People slamming doors all night." She handed him the clothes. "Go put these on," she said. "You need to meet with the Reverend Mother." "Who's she?" "Aside from the one slamming the doors, she was my chemistry lab assistant when I was in the Benzedrine Gel Tab School." "Is she any part of the reason that you and me got to go to Ascaris?" "You and I got to go," Jezebel corrected. "And no, she isn't. Though she's coming with you and me, that is, if you survive the test of her gum jabber." She covered her mouth with a hand. "Oops! What in the hell is a gum jabber?" asked Polly, eyeing her with suspicion. "Oh, nothing, nothing," she said hurriedly, ushering him down the hall. "Now go put on those clothes. Mother Teresa is waiting for you in the living room." Polly shuffled slowly and stubbornly down the hall, carrying the shoes, slacks, and jacket. "Yeah, well, let her wait," he said grumpily. Jezebel lovingly watched her son depart as she read the words on his T-shirt. "If you can read this, get off my back." It was a good 45 minutes before Polly got around to introducing himself to Mother Teresa. He hadn't bothered to change clothes. The Reverend Mother took one look at him and something suddenly occurred to her. Something very important indeed that somehow she had never thought of before. It had to do with the move to Ascaris. Damn that Jezebel. If she had only borne us a girl child as she was instructed to, we could have had triple occupancy rates for all the hotels on the way to Ascaris. Now I've got to pop for single rooms. Shit! Polly stuck out his hand, and when the Reverend Mother offered him hers, she shook it. He was only 15, but he had been trained by his mother in the arts of the Benzedrine Gel Tab School, whose curriculum did not fail to include a goodly dose of old-fashioned etiquette. "My name's Polly," he told her. "Yours, I hear, is Teresa. My mom said to meet you here and introduce myself, and so now I have. It's been real. Bye now." "Hold your sandworms, young fella," said Mother Teresa. "I've got something here for you." She reached into a tear in her garments and extracted a 9-inch shiv. It was a narrow instrument that looked homemade. Its steel was dull, and it had no handle. "Is that your famous gum jabber?" Polly asked. "It is," replied the Reverend Mother. Polly grinned at her. "What, you gonna jab me in the gums with it?" He laughed at his own joke, but his laughter quickly died away when he saw the Reverend Mother's affirmative smile and nod.
"You've got to be kidding me," he said. But she wasn't. And then she was upon him like a cat. "Get that goddamn thing out of my mouth!" Polly hollered, but she had a steely clench on him as she jabbed the gum jabber repeatedly into his gums. He tried to pull away, but she wouldn't let him. And when he managed to get an arm free and took a swing at her, she headbutted him and body slammed him onto the floor, all the time keeping a firm right-handed grip on the gum jabber while her left arm was wrenched round his head and like to break in his neck. Blood was spurting everywhere. Polly tried to use his Benzedrine gel tabs training and locked his ankles around her back. That way she couldn't get him in a heel hook. "Maybe I can choke her out," he thought, but it was no use. They remained locked in some ghastly neocoital embrace as she leisurely rammed the gum jabber through both upper and lower gums. If she got tired of poking the instrument through the old holes, she'd just make new ones. And what with her ferocious neck cranking, he was helpless to resist. She jabbed and jabbed. "The pain! The pain!" Polly thought. "Jesus Christ! That hurts like hell!" She kept jabbing his gums. Would she ever stop? "My gums! My poor old gums!" It seemed that she would leave him with nothing to keep his teeth in place. "My mouth! My gums!" She let him up. It was over. Polly rose unsteadily to his feet, rubbing his jaw reproachfully. "Christ on a crutch," breathed Mother Teresa. "I must have wanted you to fail. No woman child ever took that much without tapping out." "I had the option to tap out?" Polly cried, hemoglobin drizzling down his chin. "Might have told me." "Well, duh." The Reverend Mother turned and shouted in the direction of the doorway. "Jezebel!" Polly's mother rushed in and saw Polly standing on the blood-soaked carpet. "My son is alive," she thought. "My son is alive. Now I can be alive again, too." "I think you'd best get to the infirmary for a pint or two of the red stuff, sweetheart," said Mother Teresa. "Yes, Polly," Jezebel said. "You'll need those gums fitted with plugs and stitched, and your forehead needs tending as well. You know, where she head-butted you, dear." Polly walked off a little stiffly in the direction of the castle infirmary. "You hate me just a little," said Mother Teresa. Jezebel didn't answer, but it was true, and she had good reason. "Look at this bloody mess," she thought. "With what it costs to replace carpet these days, I'll be kissing that security deposit goodbye for sure."